Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Well, all of these Old Testament feasts are important. They certainly were important when God gave them by mandate to His Old Testament people to celebrate throughout the course of a year. Some of them we remember better than others. Passover is a big one that Christians make a lot of hoopla about. What about the Feast of Booths? Some hardly even know that it exists, and yet Jesus used the occasion of the Feast of Booths to do some of His most important teaching. He always showed up. And He always had something to say on this feast, in connection with this feast. Joining us for the next half hour of the program on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 28th, Pastor Thomas Messer, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Alma, Michigan, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, Feasting with the Lord, the Feast of Booths. Thomas, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Great to be back with you.
Do Christians in any sense celebrate this feast, the Feast of Booths, still today?
Well, in any sense, being the operative phrase there, yes, we do, in the sense that we are celebrating what Christ has fulfilled for us. I mean, you know, you look at the Feast of Booths, you look at any of these Old Testament feasts, and you see the old Israel celebrating feasts that the Lord has given them to celebrate, looking forward to the fulfillment to come in Christ, and Christ celebrating those feasts, and in the process fulfilling those feasts, and then we celebrating those feasts in the New Testament way. I mean, you know, in as much as we continue to gather around the sanctuary of our Lord for divine service, where He tabernacles, where He booths with us in His word and sacraments, and delivers to us the salvation that He has won for us, it is an ongoing celebration and observance of the feast that that foreshadowed what we do today, sure.
So tell us about its original institution and what the people were celebrating in the Feast of Booths in the Old Testament.
Well, this was one of the two pilgrim feasts on the, I like to say, the liturgical calendar or the churchier calendar of the Old Testament, the other being the Feast of Unleavened Bread associated with Passover. And on this feast, being a pilgrim feast, they would go on pilgrimage as commanded by the Lord and gather around the sanctuary of the Lord, which was located first in the tabernacle and then later in the temple in Jerusalem. And the interesting thing about this feast is that the Lord commanded them to gather around the sanctuary and dwell in temporary shelters, which was meant to bring to the remembrance the time of the Exodus from Egypt, when they had to dwell in tents and makeshift shelters for 40 years, and to remember the deliverance God had given to them and the salvation that He continues to bestow upon them through His gracious presence and the sacrificial system. There were daily sacrifices made during this feast, and also this is probably one of the the most joyous of all the Old Testament feasts, because this was the time of the year when the Israelites were gathering in their first harvest, and so they were celebrating not only God's gracious deliverance and the salvation He provides for them, but also the wonderful gift of daily bread that He continues to give to them. So it was a very joyous occasion and very joyous feast.
Now, so it's pointing backward, essentially, to the Exodus of that entire event. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's pointing backward. It's pointing backward to the deliverance God gave them from their slavery in Egypt, but also, as all the feasts do, pointing forward to the ultimate deliverance, you know, the fulfillment of all that was prophesied about their salvation in Christ.
then talk about how Jesus takes the occasion of this. I mean, we have it from the Gospels, how he takes the occasion of this feast when it's being celebrated in his time and what he does there.
Isn't it interesting that, you know, a couple of the most lengthy dialogues of Jesus with the Jewish religious leaders and most confrontational dialogues, if you will, of between Jesus and the Old Testament or the Jewish religious leaders of his day occurs within the midst or at the conclusion of the Feast of Booths. What he does, what's interesting is he doesn't. This is the account, one of the accounts where the disciple, everybody says, Jesus, you going up to the feast? And he says, Nah, I'm not going to go. And then they get there, and all of a sudden he's there. He's in the midst. He shows up in the middle of the feast, and he begins to preach about himself. He begins to preach that he is the living water, the light of the world, the great I am. And what Jesus is saying in all of these things, what he's saying to the Pharisees and the scribes, the Jewish religious leaders, and to everybody that could hear him, is that he is the very Lord who rescued the Israelites out of Egypt. He is the very Lord who created all things, and he is the fulfillment of everything that was prophesied about him in the Old Testament. And, you know, it's interesting that on the Feast of Booths, we have the Lord of Lords, the eternal Word of the Father, the Son of God, tabernacling in human flesh in their midst and proclaiming himself to be the fulfillment of everything that came before him. It's in this dialogue where we get the famous saying by Jesus that you think you know the scriptures. The scriptures are those that point to me. These are the scriptures that prophesy about me. So he's in a very real way, in a very vivid way, showing himself to be the very one who fulfills all that came before him.
This had to have been just completely impossible for the Jewish leaders of the day to swallow. And it appears that they take his claims, they understand his claims. It's not as though they say, oh, what's he saying? It must have been impossible for them to hear this man say, you know, this whole thing, this whole deal that we're going through right now, I'm the God who instituted, I'm what this is all about, I'm the fulfillment of this thing.
Yeah, it's one of the great ironies that we see in Scripture that the very one whom they claim allegiance to and who they think they know stands in their midst, their very creator. It was very difficult for them to understand because they had, by that point in time, completely dropped the ball in the realm of biblical interpretation. They had long since given up a true understanding of who the Messiah would be, what he would come to do, and you know they had this almost Alexander the Great type of understanding of the Messiah. They were looking for a powerful earthly ruler to come and rescue them from their bondage to set them free and to make them the greatest nation on earth. And they just completely had a misunderstanding by that point in time of who the Messiah would be and what he would come to do. And so when the Messiah stands before them, as surprising as it is for us who have the whole scriptures to look back and say, what's wrong with these guys? If you understand the history and where they were theologically at that point, it's not that surprising. He's just not the Messiah they were looking for.
Let's talk a little bit about the concept of pilgrimage that you mentioned before that was embedded in the Old Testament practice and then is fulfilled in Christ. First of all, Christ's pilgrimage, and then we'll talk about our pilgrimage. How should we understand Christ's pilgrimage?
Well, you know, we have the eternal Word of the Father, the Son of God, who leaves his place in heaven to become incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and made man, as we confess each week in the Creed. As St. John tells us in the Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later he says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And so, you know, in a sense, Jesus, the Son of God, who is born and named Jesus, the God-man, he goes on a pilgrimage. He leaves his heavenly glory to come down to earth and take a pilgrimage throughout this this earthly world in order to accomplish the mission of salvation, the promise of salvation that has been there and prophesied about from the beginning. He comes tabernacling in our flesh to live the perfect life in our place, to fulfill God's law, and to be the sacrifice on the cross, to make atonement for the sin of the world. He comes to accomplish what old Israel failed to accomplish. In many ways, in every way, Jesus can be seen as Israel reduced to one. And so that's what he's doing on his earthly pilgrimage. He's coming to accomplish everything necessary for our salvation, everything that Israel, who promised at Mount Sinai, if you remember, we will do everything you command us to do, Lord. Jesus comes to make that promise good, to do what they failed to do, and to bring salvation to the world.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Feast of Booths and its fulfillment in Jesus Christ with Pastor Thomas Messer, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Alma, Michigan. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Feasting with the Lord, the Feast of Booths. We'll talk about our pilgrimage right after this. It's Wednesday afternoon, July the 28th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Thomas Messer is our guest. We're talking about the Feast of Booths, Old Testament and New Testament today. It's Wednesday afternoon, July the 28th. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at issuesetc. In about 10 minutes, we'll be talking with Pastor Paul McCain about 18th century composer Johann Sebastian Bach. And in advance of that conversation, you can leave questions or comments for Pastor McCain in the second hour at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesETC. Pastor Messer, on the issue of pilgrims, I remember reading an article by Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn several years ago called, it's called Seekers or Tourists or something like that. And he talks about how the market-driven church, kind of the seeker-oriented church, has lost the notion of Christians as pilgrims and kind of turned everybody who walks in their doors into tourists. Essentially, people traveling the world, consumers, if you will, driven by kind of the consumerism of our culture. What are your thoughts there, especially when we talk about this feast, Old and New Testament, so focused on our and Christ's pilgrimage?
Yeah, my initial thoughts on that are that what all this seeker sensitive, seeker driven stuff, this consumerism, church stuff. What it fails to realize is that Christ came and he came to fulfill all that the scriptures say of him, to win our salvation and to establish his holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. To be the place where he delivers the goods of his salvation, you know, the forgiveness, life, and salvation that come through his holy word and sacraments. And so with that in mind, the first thing you have to say about notions about seeker-sensitive services and all this stuff is that the church is for believers, first and foremost. It's for those who are on a pilgrimage through the wilderness of this sinful world, those who have been brought into the kingdom of God through holy baptism, and continue to be sustained in that faith that they've been given at holy baptism through the gracious presence and working of our Lord, who comes to be with them in the sanctuary to bestow upon them his divine gifts through his holy word and sacraments. And, you know, this notion of, I had a pastor a long time ago who was really, really adamant about we need to make the church a place for the unchurched. And he would say things like, you know, the hymnal and the liturgy don't appeal to the unchurched. Well, no kidding. That's because they're for the church. And you know, the church is the place for believers to come and to be sustained in their faith as they continue to make their pilgrimage through the wilderness of this sinful world on their way to the promised land, which is already theirs through faith in Christ, but will be theirs in full when he brings them home.
Also embedded in that notion of pilgrimage, which is not only in part of this Feast of Booths, but, I mean, throughout Scripture elsewhere, is that we, as Christians, we as the church, have no permanent place here. We are strangers. We are sojourners. Talk about that, Pastor Messer.
Yeah, absolutely. That, you know, St. Paul in Philippians, that we are citizens of heaven. You know, we're this place is not our permanent residence. We already live in the eternal eternal salvation that our Lord has won for us. One of the things I note in the article is the eighth day that Christ came, and when he came and he fulfilled everything and prophesied about him in the Feast of Booths, all the feasts, all the Old Testament, when he came and fulfilled everything, he ushered in that eighth day, that eschatological day, the eternal day, in which all who believe in him, all who are brought to faith in him, will live forever. This is the day that never ends. And you know, right now, because we still live this side of heaven and the eternal kingdom to come, we live in, we often describe this theologically as the great now and not yet. We live now, already now, in that eternal day, that eighth day. We're already citizens of heaven. We're already citizens of the eternal kingdom. But we look forward to the day when everything is consummated, when Christ comes again in great glory on the last day. And included in all that is that fundamental biblical principle we read throughout Scripture, especially throughout the New Testament, that we Christians are in the world but not of the world. You know, we belong to a different kingdom.
Is that eighth day so prominent, the first and the eighth day in this Feast of Booths in the Old Testament? Can we honestly and boldly say that it's pointing forward to the resurrection of Christ?
I think so. Everything's given for a reason. The great thing about studying the Old Testament, and this is something I had to learn years and years ago when I read through the Bible on my own and thought I was a great biblical student, I really didn't have an understanding of what it all meant, but having learned to employ some very important interpretive or hermeneutical principles, such as it's all about Jesus and the fulfillment and the salvation he brings to us, all these things are there for a reason, and certainly the eighth day is highlighted many times in the Old Testament and in this Feast of Booths to point forward to something. I think it does point forward to the eternal day, the resurrection of Christ, the eternal day that he brings in on the day of resurrection. Of course, all of that could be just Dr. Just rubbing off on me in a big way.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking about it has to be the book of Revelation where where the heavenly Jerusalem comes down out of heaven and plants itself upon the earth, and the proclamation is, now the dwelling of God is with men. And that doesn't sound like that's something that's going to end at all. That sounds like a permanent fulfillment,
right,
in the resurrection of all these things that the Old Testament and New Testament people were looking at. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think this feast does point forward to that, and I think throughout the New Testament, we get several indicators that Jesus has ushered in this eighth day, this eternal day. How many times, I don't know off the top of my head, I used to know off the top of my head, but how many times does the New Testament speak of the last days? Well, the last days were ushered in by Christ in his perfect life, death, resurrection, and ascension. He brought in the last days, and we live in those last days until the last day comes, and everything in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament that points forward to that will be fulfilled, and we will live forever, tabernacle, dwell with the Lord forever in his eternal kingdom, which has no end.
Pastor Thomas Messer is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Alma, Michigan. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Feasting with the Lord, the Feast of Booths. You'll find information on Higher Things at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Messer, thank you very much for being our guest.
Hey, thanks for having me, Todd. Take care.
In the second hour of the program, Pastor Paul McCain is going to join us. On this day, many Christians are remembering, well, let's put it this way. Many Christians do remember, many non-Christians do remember Johann Sebastian Bach, some for the best of reasons, and some for reasons less than the best, although they're not bad. I mean, this man is a giant in the world of music. He was when he first did his thing in the 18th century, and he still is today. He had a brief respite where people knew little of him, and then he has been revived almost permanently. So you can name Bach, and most people will nod their heads, at least with some familiarity. But few who appreciate him greatly for the musical genius that he was realize that what drove that genius was, in fact, a theology. And we'll spend the second part of the hour, the better part of the second part of this hour of Issues, Etc., on this Wednesday afternoon, talking with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House about 18th century composer Johann Sebastian Bach and his music. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will join us. We'll talk about what they're calling gray divorce, baby boomers waiting 35, 40 years, and then finally calling it quits in their long-lived marriages. Pastor Messer said something very important, and it strikes me as I think more about it, that has been lost, sad to say, that the church is for Christians. It is for believers. The same way the military is for soldiers and the hospital is for the sick. Think about it. The church is not a storefront that we set up to interest consumers or interest an audience. The church is there to take and snatch people out of the kingdom of the devil, out of the kingdom of this world, and into the kingdom of God. The church is not a halfway house between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of God here on earth. So the church is for believers. The church that forgets that spends its time trying to sell people on Christian-ish things and not being the church. When we come back, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 28th, I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.